Hi everyone, welcome to Blind Luminations. I'm a part of Mark's narration software and my name is Ava. Mark's usual narrator Alex is a bit, let's just say he's tied up right now. This week, Mark and Jan are talking about Disney Plus, so enjoy this wonderful world of audio.
Welcome to Blind Luminations, the show that is half-sighted, half-blind, all podcast. Now get ready to open your ears to your two favorite lumineers, Mark and Jan.
Luminati, we are back. How's it going? It's been a little while. We're a little late, but we made it finally. In case you're wondering, you're listening to The Blind Avenger, also known as Mark. It's my secret identity. One half of the Blindnamic duo, that's your hosting team here, alongside my sighted wife. I call her the guiding goddess. She's also known to her friends and family as Jan. How are you doing today, Jan?
I'm doing just fine.
Just fine and dandy, like lemon
cotton
candy.
Cotton candy. That's much better.
Ah, that is. I will admit, I do enjoy cotton candy.
It gets sticky, but it's still so good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that being said, we're back at you with the Blind Luminations podcast. Thank you for tuning in. If you have some friends you think should listen to this podcast, make sure you tell them we are available pretty much everywhere great podcasts can be found. If they want to find us on Apple Podcasts too, that would be great because they can leave us a 5-star review and that helps us out a lot. So if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts or have friends who do the same, make sure they leave us a 5-star review because it's very important. Do that, subscribe for free, all of that fun stuff helps us out. And when you help us, you help yourselves, because you allow us to give you more great content.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway.
It's a cycle.
It's a cycle. It's the circle of life, which is fitting, because on this week's podcast, we are talking about Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We're talking about our different experiences with the new streaming service. It came out just over a week ago, well, closer to 2 weeks now, but we both had the time to play around with it and figure it out and do different things and watch different shows. And we're going to talk about our experience. And this week we will have a very first for the podcast as well, because we are being joined by a guest contributor. He sent in some audio feedback of his experience using the Disney Plus app for Apple TV. He is completely blind as well. So I wanted to get his point of view on it. I didn't have the time to use the Apple TV app. I've been using the one for my iPhone, the iOS app. So I will give my opinions on the accessibility of that app. And that's what we're going to do. But before we get into that, how's your week been, Jan?
It's been going pretty darn good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You happy?
I had a family reunion yesterday.
Yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We got to catch up with all the cousins, the aunts and uncles. It's good times, good times.
Mm-hmm. Got to meet some of our young fans from Indiana.
That's true, yeah. We got introduced to one of your cousins' young boys, and she said...
Well, we met him before.
Well, no, okay. She introduced us as the people he hears on
yes,
the radio.
Yes, okay, that was
that's what I was.
Yeah, okay.
I was trying to get to that, but you interrupted me first, so thanks a lot. Make me look like a big goof. Anyway. But yes, she introduced us as the voices he hears on the radio. So I felt like I was like a celebrity. It felt kind of neat.
It was cool. So I think the proper response now is say, hi, Zachary.
Exactly. Hi, Zachary. Hi, Isaiah. I think they're both competing for the youngest fan. Isaiah is younger, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. So there are two youngest fans.
You made me feel really bad right there because I don't remember kids' ages very well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I put you on the spot.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, how old are is it?
Dun, dun, dun. Well, neither parent knows how old the other kid is, so I think we're safe.
Oh, that is true.
Even if we're wrong, they wouldn't know that we're wrong. We're not going to specify ages because then we can remain Mm-hmm. Correct.
We can act like we knew things.
Exactly. We can, mm-hmm. Exactly. We'll act like we were right all along. You should know a lot about that, because mm-hmm. no matter if I'm right or not, you always claim you're right. So, I mean, you'd think you'd be a pro at this by now. Right? Or am I wrong? I'm wrong. As always. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, we had a fun time at the family reunion. That was yesterday, as of the time we're recording this. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So, that was a lot of fun. And earlier mm-hmm. in the week, we got profiled by somebody while we were trying to park at a 7-Eleven.
Yes.
I wanted to bring this up because it annoyed me a great deal. So why don't you explain the story? Because you had the visual element of it.
So we park in permit parking.
Yes.
I flip down my visor so it clearly shows that we have a valid permit. Mm-hmm. I do make sure that the way it is shown is completely valid. It has all the important parts showing and everything like that. I could see an older gentleman. He had a nicely trimmed white beard.
Oh.
Give us kind of the eye.
I didn't realize he was an older gentleman.
Yeah.
He wanted us to get off his lawn. As it were.
And a closely cropped beard there.
Oh,
and
okay.
So I went inside. He was inside. He checks
us
out.
He gave us the old stink eye.
I go outside and I hear a vehicle honk.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that a white van is behind our vehicle. And because they're stopped, they're blocking another vehicle from leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And as I get closer, I see it's the older gentleman with a camera taking a picture of our license plate.
Yeah, yeah. The ironic part to me is that he was so focused on you that he didn't bother to look in the passenger side of the car to see the blind man. It was nighttime. He didn't bother to see the blind man wearing sunglasses with a white cane folded in his lap. I think that would have been a pretty good giveaway that maybe we were legitimately parking there. And like you said, yeah. You put the parking permit on full display.
Yeah.
And the thing that bugs me about that, too, is like, okay, say you did have something like a respiratory illness. That doesn't, like, you could have walked out of the car and not have it look like you had a respiratory illness.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't look like you're quote-unquote handicapped or however you want to put it,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you don't have a valid permit to park there. I think there's like a lot of people who get this idea that, oh, like, you know, they go out perfectly fine into the place, so this mustn't mean that they need the permit.
Mm.
And it's like, no, there are some that are not, like, there's some some different disabilities where there's not necessarily a visual cue.
Well, there's also days where we'll be walking into our building and mm-hmm. we get a very strong wind. Now, the wind
blows.
Hits you.
Yes.
Can make it harder for you to breathe.
Yes.
So, I mean, even if it wasn't where the distance that's respiratory, like, you might look fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's where that causes you to breathe heavily or be unable to breathe,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't just tell by looking.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know we get the look because we are younger people. And apparently nobody young ever has a disability.
Right, yeah. You're only allowed to be disabled if you're older at this point now. Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. I noticed that, you know, I've read different tweets here and there about, you know, people with invisible disabilities having these permits and the problems and that. We've gone the eye a few times.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unusual. It was the picture taking that. I was like, really? Like,
yeah. I know, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, like, come on, really? Like I don't know.
It's one of those things, too, because, like, it's like, what are you going to be doing with that photo? Because you can't use it for anything criminal. Like, you can't give it to the police because you have to have it time-dated, you have to show different things. Like, you have to have a fair bit of information there. And from his angle, I doubt he would have it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting a picture of the license plate.
Well, it's
not
the back
front
of the vehicle,
like,
yeah.
Unless he took a picture of the front, and I mean, you were blind, so you wouldn't have known any.
Mm-hmm. Which is doubly stupid, because you'd think if he had taken the picture and seen that I had no reaction, he would have realized, hey, maybe he's blind.
Yeah.
One of those things, you know.
But it's one of those things, like, what are you doing with that picture? And if it's just to, you know, show people, like, look out for this license plate, it's like...
Well, that's not cool either. Obviously, like you're not supposed to share...
That's, you know, misinformation you're going to spread.
It's fake news.
Exactly.
We don't want to be associated with...
Not the fake news.
Yeah, we don't want to be associated with fake news. We're all about the real news.
Exactly.
Such as Disney Plus.
Yes.
And its launch on different platforms. We focus mainly on Apple platforms here because we are part of that ecosystem. We both own iPhones. We have the Apple TV. So we thought that we would talk about our experiences using the Disney Plus app on both. So how do you want to do this? I know I told you before we recorded this podcast, but I forgot how I wanted to format this. So do you want to just compare basically our different experiences and then we will throw it to our guest contributor for this podisode?
Mm-hmm.
We can do it that way?
Yep.
Okay. So first of all, what were your initial thoughts when you first came across that, when you first started using the app on Apple TV?
For me, it was awesome.
Yes, because you started using it a few days after the service launched.
Are you going to tell me my experience, or can I tell my experience?
No, I'm just saying that you used it a couple days after launch, whereas I started trying to use the service the day that it launched. And obviously that made a big difference because the demand was causing a lot of errors to occur with the different apps as people were trying to sign up. I got us signed up that morning, but I know a lot of other people were having bigger issues and stuff like that. So definitely your first impression was a lot more seamless than what mine would have been.
Mm-hmm.
So continue. I just wanted to throw that caveat out there.
I added it on. Okay. I started playing it. I started looking at it on my phone, and then I played it off of the Apple TV.
Okay.
And I think it was easy for me to look at all the things that were offered.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find it's quicker for me than it would be for you because you have I can glance over and see what catches my eye. Mm-hmm. Whereas obviously from pretty much every sentence I've just used, you can see where there's a difference.
Now, I will give Disney credit because they were really good with labeling buttons and different things in the app. There's not really any, not that I can think of anyway, on the iOS app, there's not any buttons that are unlabeled to the blind. So it works fairly well with VoiceOver. There is one issue that I will get to, and I know Matt, our contributor, will mention in his review of the Apple TV app. I'll get to it later in our discussion, but I think that they did a really good job with accessibility for the most part, and even though I can't glance at different things, they make it easy to know where certain things are.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the buttons are labeled. I can get to different sections on the app pretty easily. And the search function is pretty good in general. So, anyway, continue.
Mm-hmm. When it started playing, it was doing the audio description?
Yes, because I had already turned that on my phone, I believe.
So it was already set up for the app. Which I don't have a problem with because I like using it. Sometimes it's really helped out with the Mandalorian.
Yeah, you said it's given you some extra details that you otherwise wouldn't have realized in different shows, right?
Well, yeah, in different shows it does that I've watched before. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons I like it. With the Mandalorian, it was because I don't always catch names or what a creature is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to try not to spoil anything in this episode.
So it was really good that they would refer to people as, like, whatever
character it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like here's an easy example, okay? There's an animal that, at one point, the Mandalorian is going to ride.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have remembered the name? No.
Yeah.
But do obviously, you remember the it name was now? Important. Blarg? Blurb?
Okay, yeah, it is. Good job. I'm impressed that
but
you remember.
But it was helpful because I remember it because they had to keep, you know, describing the fact that he was on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, would I have... I don't know. It took me the longest time to remember. Was it the other character from Star Wars, the Pongs or whatever it is?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Some creature from one of the Star Wars things that some Star Wars fan is like, oh my God, she doesn't remember the name.
But I don't know what you're talking... What do they look like?
They were like little penguin kind of thingies from one of the most recent Star Wars.
Oh, then that's why I wouldn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think it was when Rey was... when Rey is training with Luke Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea what those are called.
Those little things. They're cute. Whatever. No disrespect to the character.
Yeah, yeah.
Or to the creatures.
They're cute.
But that's one of the things. Like, obviously, I did not watch that movie with audio description yet, so I can't remember the names of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very helpful when you're watching something that you may not be familiar with all of the technical terms or stuff like that. It really helps to remember. The other thing that was neat was when I was a kid, I watched a show, a movie called Candleshoe. It's apparently from 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
They did, because they put that information there.
But it has a young Jodie Foster in it.
Okay.
So I watched it, and apparently it has audio description, which I didn't even know they had back then.
Oh, they didn't. I'm sure they did it more recently where they added audio description.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I just didn't think they would add audio
description. Yeah, for something
to it,
that was so old, yeah.
So, like, who knew for that? But they did. So, like, I go to start watching it, and all of a sudden it starts describing. It's like, oh my gosh.
It opened up a whole new world to you.
Who knew?
Yeah. No, it's really it's interesting. Not all the stuff has audio description on Disney Plus, obviously, but I feel like they have a pretty good selection, and their original content that they are putting out does have audio description. They have a new documentary series from, like, real-life stories with, like, it's connected to Marvel somehow. And it's basically it's the Superhero Project, I think, is what it's called. And it's they tell stories about real-life superheroes, teenagers and kids who are doing, like, these really cool things and stuff and helping the world. So that documentary series actually has descriptive or audio descriptions. And so does The Mandalorian, as you mentioned. And the different ones they'll have coming out are going to have it. So I think that's something that's really important. Obviously, Netflix has been doing that for a while. Amazon Prime Video has been doing that. So I'm really glad that Disney has been continuing with their audio descriptions as well, because I feel like they are one of the leaders when it comes to audio descriptions, when it comes to their movies. They always have audio descriptions on the digital copies. They always have them on the Blu-rays and DVDs when they would come out. They have them in theaters. So it's good to see that, or hear that they are continuing this trend on the network itself, because I think it's something that's really important. And I know they are trying to make it as inclusive as possible for the most amount of people, despite whatever abilities they might have. So that's something that's been really good. What else? What do you think of the selection? I think it's been pretty interesting to see what's on there, because there's some titles that you wouldn't even think of that would be on there. I mean, I was scrolling through one day, I saw The Sandlot, I saw 10 Things I Hate About You. What else was there? There was another one that I didn't realize. I mean, Boy Meets World, I knew they owned, but I didn't think of it. And then as I was looking and saw they had it, they have that in Girl Meets World.
Candleshoe was a surprise for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, there was also, like, my mom liked Don Knotts and that.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up watching, like, The Ghost of Mr. Chicken is a Halloween favorite.
It's yes.
Good. Everyone should watch that. That's just funny.
Is that on there?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
But they have the Apple Dumpling Gang. Okay. And then, because he's in that, with Tim Conway.
Oh, okay.
And that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't rewatched it yet, so this is by memory that it's really funny. But they have those. They had Return to Witch Mountain, the one with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, and Race to Witch Mountain, I think, is the one with Dwayne Johnson. Yeah,
and then Return to Witch Mountain was the early one.
Okay.
So, I mean, it has all those. It's just those things that I just didn't think about.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And, I mean, there's still a lot of titles for them to add, too. So
it's
all
of my Winnie the Pooh.
They have all your Winnie the Poohs. They have, they don't have tons of Muppet stuff yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a few of the movies in that, which is really cool, from the past. They don't have your Muppets Take Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the original, the Muppet movie.
Yeah.
So they have Muppet Christmas Carol, Muppet Treasure Island.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Muppet series that was on ABC not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
That only lasted a season. But they put that up on Disney Plus. They have the more recent Muppets movies, Muppets Most Wanted and The Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they have that kind of stuff. It's amazing to see how much Disney owns, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you don't really think of how much they own until you see all these different things on the service, because they have all 30 seasons of The Simpsons on there. They have Avatar now.
Mm-hmm.
All these different things that they can add to their streaming service that give them this heads up against all these other people. I mean, they may not have the variety from different studios, but their studio just has so much and so many properties that interest people, that people have been into for so long, that it really makes them kind of stand up above the other streaming services. I think once all of their content is off of Netflix, it's really going to hurt Netflix, because I mean, they got 10 million subscribers already in the first day, I believe. So I mean, that's pretty impressive. It beat all of their estimates and stuff. So it's really interesting to see how it all rolls out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And then they have the Forky Asks a Question.
Did you watch that?
No, but okay. I want to. It's like four minutes long.
Yeah, I've heard like mixed things about it. So I've heard some people saying it really wasn't necessary. And I've heard like other people say it's cute and that. So I don't know personally. I haven't even seen Toy Story 4, so
mm-hmm.
It'll be coming directly to Disney Plus when it comes out. But so there's that. There's the different Pixar movies that are on there. Obviously a lot of Marvel stuff, a lot of the Star Wars stuff. The only Star Wars movie there's two that aren't on there. Star Wars Story and the last Star Wars movie,
mm-hmm.
Episode 8. So those will be coming eventually, and they got a lot of the Marvel movies, and I feel like we're just kind of reiterating what they have, but
and Mr. Boogity, I remember that one.
Oh yeah, Mr. Boogity. I don't know what that is, but you kind of told me about it.
It's okay.
I'd never heard of it, so I know. Yeah, Disney fans are probably very angry with me right now.
It's okay.
And Lizzie McGuire's on there too. I know that.
Yeah, and they're coming out with the update to it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. And they're coming up with a lot of different things. They've announced Hocus Pocus. They're working on a sequel, and it sounds like the original cast is coming back for the sequel. So there's that. There's all the Marvel TV series that are starting next fall with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following spring, it'll be WandaVision. And stuff like that. And those are going to lead directly into the movies as well. They've said you're going to need to watch those because they will impact the movies that come out. So it really will be connected, unlike where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was going and different things that were on ABC. Because for a while they said those were connected, and then they just kind of drifted apart over time because the two studios were kind of working separately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now it's all going to be overseen by Kevin Feige. However you want to say it. And so definitely it's really cool to see all of the stuff that's on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing that they have above everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So what are your other impressions about the app? I mean, what do you think about the search feature? Is it easy to use? Or because I know I have heard from like different people that they don't like it. Because like if you make a small typo, if you type The Simpsons instead of The Simpsons or something, it doesn't necessarily find the TV series.
Yeah, it's very exact.
Yeah, it can be pretty finicky. But it's weird too, because sometimes I will type in like a character, and it'll show me a bunch of movies with that character, and then it'll show me a bunch of like other movies that aren't related.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost maybe like what they suggest, because it's...
Yeah, that's the one thing that...
It's weird. Like, there's no real rhyme or reason to the search, I find.
Their watch list is very weird. They're still trying to figure out the glitch, which is how to take something off of your wish list. Or
watch list. Yeah.
Because essentially you have to act like you're adding it again and then take it off.
And I think we have to compare it to Netflix as well a little bit, because that's its main competition. I don't feel like it's as user intuitive as Netflix, because you have to go to your settings to get to your watch list. Like, whereas Netflix, they put your watch list right on the front page. Like, it's right there for you.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's easier for you to get to, but like, I have to, because of how it's set up, I have to get myself to a row that I can click. That I can click left to, or left from, to get into the settings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's actually easier to get to. I just find it weird that it's not right on the front page. Because to me, that's a logical place where you would put your watch list. You have these episodes, say you've got The Mandalorian on your watch list, and you know the new episode comes out on Friday. You want to be able to go into the app, go to directly to your watch list, and then pick The Mandalorian. You'd think that would be right on the homepage when you come into the app, and it's not. On the iPhone app, there's basically a tab in the bottom right corner for settings, and then you go to the watch list there. It's not a huge deal.
You know what was weird, too? What? And this is something that I don't think you have noticed, because I watched Atlantis.
Okay. I didn't even realize they had it on
that
there.
That was The Lost Empire.
Yep.
For some reason, they had the title card in French. Oh. It was however they do it.
Atlantis.
In French. And then Lost Empire in French. So I went to watch it. I'm like, what? And they have the Atlanteans speaking something similar to French.
Oh.
That's their language. So then it really threw me off. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And switch it to audio description, stuff like that. And it was, all the characters end up speaking English and everything. But even if I went backwards, it would still show me the French title card.
Okay.
I'm like, what? Why? I don't understand.
What? So why? What's happening?
So, I mean, for you, you wouldn't have seen that title card. And if I remember right, it was saying it properly.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, I don't understand this.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. But when it comes to the watch list, comparing it to Netflix, essentially with Netflix, you can navigate with headers and go down to your watch list. Mm-hmm. It works well sometimes. I find with the Netflix app, it will change the position of where things are at sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I have to scroll down several headings to get to my watch list. So it is a little bit easier for the blind to get to on Disney Plus, I would say. But I still find it weird that they just don't put it on the homepage, an icon at the top or something. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Just or a tab right at the bottom where you go directly to your watch list.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, putting it in settings is a little bit weird. Like, it's not a setting necessarily.
I'm not sure if I mind that they don't have recommended suggestions.
They do, though.
They do?
On the iPhone app, I know it does say recommended for you, and there's a section where it lists some stuff.
Oh, so I don't know. I haven't seen that. Maybe it's...
I don't know if it changes based on what you watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly not sure. I haven't really explored it. I've like looked at through what's on there a few times, and they seem to stay mostly the same despite what I've watched. Like there's some suggestions that have been a little bit weird. Or maybe I'm thinking of the... No, I think there is a recommendations thing on the main page. I know there's a trending one. Have you seen that one or...
Yes.
Okay, yeah, there's definitely a trending, but I think there's recommendations as well. So, yeah, I don't think it's changed much when I've used it. I haven't been keeping a close eye on it. I mostly use the search and the watch list, so to get to the different content, which kind of brings me to another another part of the iOS app, at least, and I know Matt will touch upon it in his review of the Apple TV app for people using VoiceOver, the narration software that's built in to both devices. They have their, what VoiceOver calls it, a picker, essentially. And under the different sections where they list the movies, you swipe up and down to get through the list. Is that how you do it as well on the phone, or?
I'm trying to think. Possibly.
Okay. Well, what happens is with the way they have it, you have to, if you're using VoiceOver, you have to go in one of these pickers to scroll through the different movies. And so you scroll through and then you double tap on one. And it happens all the time where you double tap on what it says is there, but it brings you to the wrong movie. So that happens a lot of the time. That's why I've started to rely more on the search to get to certain things, because those pickers, they need to either get rid of those or make them more reliable, because they just don't work. That's the one big complaint I have in terms of accessibility on their app. It's not unworkable. Like, there's workarounds, obviously, but if they want to make the whole thing work for everybody, they really have to work on that, because it doesn't work at all on the iPhone. One cool thing, though, that we did do with the iPhone was we were out of town last week. And we, well, not this past week, the week before, but we went to, we had like a 2-hour drive, and we decided to turn on audio descriptions for Iron Man, and we hooked it up to the car. So it would play out of the car speakers, and we drove home listening to Iron Man. And it was actually really cool, because for me, it was essentially watching a movie on the way home, and you knew the movie well enough that you could listen, in the background and listen to what was going on and enjoy the movie as well. So it was actually a really cool way to do things, because it made the car ride go by pretty fast. So you really enjoyed it.
Oh, I did.
I was surprised at how much you enjoyed it, actually, because we got home and you're like, if you ever want to do that again, like, that's fine with me. So it was just kind of funny. I like that you enjoyed it so much. It was really cool.
It was different. It was really good because I could pay attention to the road and then go back to the movie. And I knew what was going on.
Yes.
Because I knew the movie enough. If it was a new movie, we wouldn't have done it, because then I would have been lost. Or if it was a movie I was less familiar with, it wouldn't have been good, because then I wouldn't have been able to follow along.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it worked out really well. I don't know why I'd never thought of doing that before. Maybe because I don't usually download movies in an app like that. I've never really downloaded anything in Netflix, because you do have the option to view certain titles. You can download them on Netflix, but with Disney Plus, anything that's on there, you can download onto your phone. So with this, I just downloaded it onto the phone, so I wasn't using my data.
Yeah.
And that's how we played it in the car. So it was really cool. And I really like that feature. That's a really big thing that I think Disney can tout. Because a lot of the other streaming services, even if their content's on there, it doesn't necessarily have that ability to be downloaded.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all depends what they approve in terms of licensing the content out. So, on their own service, they can just do that, and it's fine. So, that was really cool. I enjoyed that feature and that we could use that. So, essentially, yeah, with the iPhone app, I think they've done a pretty good job at considering accessibility. Like I said, they had the audio descriptions. When I first turned them on, they worked. The first time I turned them on, I had to go into the app and select it. It didn't pick it automatically, but then down the road, it just turned on automatically. So I'm not sure what that's all about. I know Matt made a comment about it too in his commentary about the Apple TV app, and he has a theory, but yeah. So at first it didn't turn on automatically, but once I played something in full, it seemed like it worked. So that's good. I'm glad that it just starts up automatically now. Mm-hmm. It makes it a lot easier. I don't have to guess whether or not audio description is on.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting when we were in the car because I forgot to turn voiceover off. Whenever there was a subtitle that came up in the movie, it would voiceover would actually read it. So I don't know.
So we had to essentially, like, you know,
voiceover was talking over the the audio description of the subtitles. So I don't know what
basically,
that's...
You know, I need to know this information. It's like, I need to know this information.
And yeah.
It's like, whoa, like that's a double.
Now, when you didn't have, like, when you don't have audio description on, does it still... Well, are there subtitles at the bottom of the screen?
Yeah.
Or, okay, that's weird. I don't know why... I don't know why voiceover would read it. Like, it would have to be programmed in somehow.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, I just find that really weird. Or maybe it's like a feature of voiceover that if there's text on the screen or something, it tries to read it out loud. I don't know. It was just really weird. I don't know why it did that. So, anybody using Apple products to listen to a movie with the audio descriptions, you might want to turn the speech off from voiceover, because if there are any subtitles, at least on the phone, it will read them. So I think it's a feature on the iPhone. Maybe it's like image detection. It tries to read the text. That's the only thing I can think of, because it was just really weird that you had voiceover reading the subtitles in addition to the actual audio description. So... yeah. But anyway, so there was that. What else? Is there anything else you want to comment on when it comes to the Apple TV app?
I think we should play Matt's thing.
Okay. You're anxious to hear it?
Yeah. Well, we've alluded to it enough.
We have. Yes. We've built it up. Mm-hmm. That was the whole point. We wanted to build up the suspense. And for our first guest contributor, Matt Durkins, he will be offering his take on the Apple TV app and his experience. He is also is married to a sighted person. So, I mean, he has that in common with us as well. So definitely we're going to go to that, and then we will talk some more about Disney Plus on the other side. So here it is.
Hello, podcast listeners. My name is Matt Durkins, and I want to talk about the Apple TV app version of Disney Plus. So thank you to Mark for allowing me to come on and talk about it today. The app is much like the iPhone app. It has a lot of the same accessibility issues in that if you're trying to find something, sometimes what will happen is it will get stuck as you're going along. It will not click on the right thing, which can happen. And it's also hard to find the search box. The only way that I've actually been able to search and play something is to go into the home screen and ask Siri to play a movie or a show on Disney Plus, and it'll find it. I don't know why they do that. They need to get rid of the kind of adjustables that are present, because continuously swiping up and down to find something just isn't practical. And it's just not a very good experience right now. I know this is very early in the game, but it should be better than it is. The audio description is good, but not everything is described, which is fine. But it's very strange that some of the Marvel stuff, or at least the ones that we've watched, are not described, but they have been described on the iTunes version. So that's kind of a problem as well. A big issue is the actual turning on of audio description. The only way that I've actually been able to do it is to have it on my phone, and then once the phone and the Apple TV kind of connected to each other, then it worked fine. But the big control player in the middle of the screen I haven't figured out a way of accessing the auto description with VoiceOver on or off visually either, because it's so quick. You, at least on the iPhone, when you double tap on the audio on the player, you literally have maybe 2 or 3 seconds to quickly swipe down to go to your audio and subtitles menu. You cannot be slow. You have to be very fast. And apparently that's a visual thing as well. Visually, you have to be quick too. So they definitely need to fix that. It is a decent app for, like I say, you know, for 1.0. But they definitely need to fix some things and make it easier to search. Like I said, I just do the Siri. And I've also connected it to the TV app. So when you first play something, it'll come up and say, do you want to open this in, or do you want to connect this to the TV app? So it can recommend shows and give you what was playing. Haven't figured out a way of kind of continuous play. So I was watching The Simpsons, and each episode I had to continuously hit play, and it also doesn't remember where you left off. So if you were in, like, season 6, episode 2 or 3, it's not going to remember where you were, which is really frustrating. So it's definitely got some work to be done. They definitely can make it better, especially for that player. They need to make it last on screen. The adjustables need to be gone. They need to make it so that you can either select things manually, or the search box needs to be at the very top. I wasn't able to find it myself, but my wife was able to find it, no problem. But like I say, the way that I do it is just through Siri and just ask to play something with Disney Plus. So those are my thoughts on the Apple TV app. I think it definitely needs some work. And I want to say too that thank you again to Mark for letting me be on the podcast. It's very appreciated. And if I may plug something, I am an assistive technology specialist, and I do some training work. And if anyone is interested in doing work with me, I specialize in Mac, Windows, iOS. I don't do Android at the moment. I also do adaptive equipment, so Braille displays and Daisy players. And if you want to do any training, feel free to email me. My email address is matt.dierckens@me, that's me.com. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on the podcast.
So that is what Matt had to say about the Apple TV app for Disney Plus. Listening back, I remember some of the stuff he mentioned. I'd like to know which Marvel content is not does not have audio descriptions, because I'd just be interested in that. I thought all the movies were supposed to have it on there. So, yeah, that will be interesting to hear about what has that. The search, that's something that's definitely not an issue on the iPhone app. It has its own tab there, so it's not hard to find. Did you find the search was, well, you probably didn't find it hard to use on the Apple TV app, because you can see, right?
Yeah, I didn't find it difficult to use at all.
Okay. So did you connect it to the TV on the thing so you can use Siri with it, or?
I don't use Siri.
Okay. So you did not connect
no,
it to
I
the
did
TV.
Not.
Okay. No, I'm just curious, because like that would allow you to access some stuff from the main screen. But yeah, so there's that. What else did he mention? He mentioned getting rid of the different the pickers, basically, that I mentioned earlier in the episode. And he talked there. Oh, the autoplay issue. That's something that is not on an issue on the phone, because I've watched episodes of The Mandalorian back to back and they autoplay. I don't know about you. Did they autoplay when you were watching them?
No, they don't.
Okay. They did on, they do on my phone. I know it's a setting on the, iPhone app. So I don't know.
There's a different setting.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a setting I didn't do, but...
yeah. I know on the iPhone app, if you go into settings, there is... if you go to... I think if you go to the individual profiles, you can turn autoplay on in your profile. So I don't know if there's the same thing on the Apple TV app, if anybody wants to try that out and try and find it there. But mm-hmm. I know it was a setting that I needed to make sure was on when it came to the iPhone app.
Mm-hmm.
So the episodes of television shows I play there do automatically load one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's that. What else do you think?
There was also, when you resume, you don't get the option of starting from the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
And that's one thing that I like from Netflix.
Hold on. Like, when you resume, so you're saying, like, if you stop watching a television show and you pick it up, it starts at that spot?
I don't know about television shows.
Okay,
I know about movies. It'll pick up where it left off, but mm-hmm. it doesn't give me the option to start from the beginning.
Okay.
And
I'm trying to remember if
for someone who watches movies over, you know, period of days sometimes.
Yeah.
That's one thing I did like about Netflix is that it gave me the option to start again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think they got some work to do there with definitely with the video playback options and different things. And I know the thing that he was mentioning with going using the subtitles and getting to that menu when something's playing, that's an issue with pretty much any streaming app. It seems like all of them are kind of going towards doing that. I know it does the same thing on the Netflix app for the iPhone and same with Amazon Prime Video. So that is a real pain when you're like hurrying up to try and get to this section of the controls when it's only popping up for maybe 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I think they need to consider, especially for people who cannot see. Maybe adding an option where you can turn it, toggle it on and off and not have it be timed, because that's just, I hate that. I hate that on all the streaming devices that do it. So I'm totally in agreement with Matt on that aspect of everything. And I don't know, I'll have to see on the iPhone app about, because I'm trying to remember, I started watching the X-Men cartoon series, and I don't know if it left off where I stopped watching in an episode or not. So I'm curious to see if it has the same behavior on the iPhone app. Because that's mainly what I use, because I'm a little bit hard of hearing as well. So just being able to play the different shows on my headphones, it makes a lot easier. So I don't know. I'm going to have to check that out and see what the deal is with that, I guess. So, yeah, I agree with Matt. It's not a terrible experience for their first version of the app, but there's definitely a lot of work that needs to be done for the accessibility. I'm sure they will listen to consumer feedback. I mean, they've already been listening to customers and stuff when it comes to what they want on the network. You look at, they had the recent thing with The Simpsons because they resized it for... like they changed the aspect ratio for the streaming service. And so it cut off a lot of the visual gags that were in the show when it originally aired. So they actually announced that in early 2020, the first 20 seasons of the show, you will have the option to select between the original aspect ratio or the resized version that they did for the Disney Plus streaming service. So, I mean, that's really good that they did that, that they've listened and realized, hey, these changes need to be made. So hopefully they're just as receptive to people with different abilities. I think they will be, because they made it a real point to say that there would be accessibility built into this app when it launched. So I think it's going to be something they continue to tinker with and improve. I know they said when it launched, the day of launch, they said the main reason that it crashed so much was the architecture they used for the app. And there's supposed to be an update out in about a week that uses a different architecture that will allow it to run better, because some people are still having some issues with it. So I know they are going to be changing some stuff around, and I hope that it leads to more accessibility as well. I'm sure they will have tested out accessibility in this new architecture for their app. So hopefully there's some improvements in terms of navigation and different things like that. So that's my opinion on that. So final opinions on Disney Plus for you overall.
I like it. I'll keep it.
You like it, you'll keep it. Well, yeah, considering we paid for a year, you'll kind of have to keep it for at least 11 more months. So, I mean, I think it's really good. And the fact that I think people need to remember, too, it's such a new service. I think people, a lot of people were upset the day it launched, but you have to consider the fact that it's such a huge service. There's so much demand, and it's just starting. It doesn't have that foothold like Netflix. And I think a lot of people compare it to where Netflix is at right now and fail to realize, hey, Netflix has had several years to fine-tune everything and make the experience better. So I think that's something that's going to come in time with Disney Plus. And obviously, there's going to be a lot more content. I know there's a lot of people who are upset whatever movie or TV show isn't on there right now, but they are going to add more content down the road. I mean, I was mentioning about how there isn't tons of Muppet stuff up on the network yet, and I'm sure they're going to add more as time goes on. It's just a matter of getting the rights back and rolling things out strategically. I mean, if they put everything up all at once, what incentive is there for more people to get it down the road? You know what I mean? And plus, they need to sift through all of the stuff they have. They need to have room for everything. You put too much on there at once and people aren't going to get around to looking at everything. So I think it's something that as it grows, it'll continue to get more and more impressive. When some Marvel series start coming out, that's going to be really cool. More Star Wars stuff is going to be on the network. I think it's a really good service. I think it's a really good price. And I definitely feel if people are interested in the different properties that Disney owns and they want to watch those movies and television shows and stuff, it's definitely a bargain because you get to go back and watch so much content and there's going to be even more coming. So that's kind of my final take on Disney Plus. It might be a little long-winded there, but yeah, I think they're continuing to improve on accessibility. I feel like they will continue to improve on the app experience. And like I said, they're going to continue adding more and more content. So it just makes it that much more valuable. Especially when you consider it's cheaper than Netflix as well by a decent amount. So, I mean, you're getting a lot for your money, I feel, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the only thing with Disney compared to Netflix is that there's a lot of new content that can come with Netflix, like not just their original series and that.
Yes, they get it from multiple studios.
But they get it from multiple studios. And as long as there's still an avenue for that, I think there'll be a need for Netflix.
Yeah, that's
because
the thing I get.
Disney has a lot of older things.
Yeah.
But there's only so much new that they can put out as as big of a business as it is. You know, so there's that to contend with. Like they sort of have to release the older stuff sparingly in a way.
Yeah.
Because once it's all out, it's all out. And then it'll only be original stuff that they can release.
I'm actually impressed at how much older stuff they've released with the launch of Disney Plus, because they released tons of stuff from the vault. And they're going to have like everything accessible from the vaults that they lock everything up in, apparently. But yeah, except for obviously Song of the South, which is, for various reasons, they will not be releasing that movie. You can read about it on the internet if you want. But yeah. But yeah, I'm actually really surprised with how much older content they have released so far. It's been pretty impressive, if you ask me. But I agree with you. They have to space things out because they can only release new content so often. And they need stuff to put out in between. Yeah, so definitely. I think it's going to continue to be interesting to see. The only thing I will say that is a negative is that as streaming services like Disney Plus become more successful, you're seeing other companies launch their own streaming services. And I think eventually it's going to get to the point where you need to have like 10 streaming services to get all the content you want.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets to that point, it starts to be more expensive than cable, which was the big selling point for these streaming services before was, oh, you can cut the cord, save tons of money and get one or two streaming services. And it's so much cheaper than cable. And now it's turning into where any company that owns enough intellectual property, mm-hmm. enough television shows and movies are launching their own streaming service, and they're taking all the money for themselves. And I think that's, I don't know, it's not a good thing, obviously, for the consumer. And I almost wonder if it's going to come back to bite the entertainment industry too, because you're going to get people saying, okay, well, I'm not going to be buying 10 different services. Which ones will I spend on? And you're going to see other ones fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that content's going to go away, or it's going to go somewhere else. So it's one of those things. I think it's really a slippery slope in terms of launching services like these. And it looks like a lot of companies are going to be doing them. I know NBC Universal has one coming out. Warner Brothers has HBO Max in the States anyway. That's not coming to Canada. They partnered with Crave TV instead, which I have big issues with, but I will go into that. I can spend another episode or another podisode on that on its own. But anyway, so yeah, there's a lot of different streaming services coming out, and the risk that comes with that is the cost that comes with it as well. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that I like Disney Plus, so I'll be keeping that as well.
Mm.
So you have anything else you would like to say about our topic for this week?
No, I think that about covers it.
That about wraps it up. If you want to join us on social media, you can do so. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/blindilluminations. We are on Twitter at blindillumination. Just cut off the S because they don't let us have it. And you can also find us on Instagram, www.instagram.com/blindilluminations. They're nice, not like Twitter. We get to keep the S there. Anyway, you can also email us with any feedback, feedback@blindilluminations.com. If you have any questions, comments, whatever, about this episode, this podisode, I keep forgetting to call it a podisode this week. If you have any questions or comments about this podisode or anything we've talked about in the past or anything you would like for us to talk about in the future, you can contact us there. And we will read what you have to say. But anyway, until next week, next week we will be covering, I should let you know, we will be covering depictions of blind people in media. This was Jeanette's idea for our next episode. So if it fails horribly, I want to blame her in advance. I don't think it will, though. We just got to talk about which things we'll pick from, because I don't know how many things I've watched in media with blind people in the shows and stuff. So I was telling her, actually, when she mentioned the topic to me, that I might end up having to watch The Bird Box before the next episode, which is something I'm scared of, but not for the reasons that movie intends me to be scared for. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. And we might
and
have...
And if you have any suggestions of... Yeah. Movies or TV shows, something that we could probably access to watch, feel free to suggest that, and hopefully we'll have enough time before the next podisode to catch some of it.
Yeah,
so
we're hoping
we can mention it too, give you a little shout out for your help too.
Yeah, we're hoping to put it up on Wednesday, or I'm trying to get it up before Thanksgiving in the United States so that people have more of a chance of listening to it. So hopefully by Wednesday night we will have the next podisode up. I know we've been late this past week, but we're going to try and get things in order and get things going. So that is it for this week. And as always, do not be a dingleberry. Keep your ear holes happy and keep on listening as we give you a little more blindness and a little more illumination for your hearts and souls. Thanks for listening.
Toodles.
Blind Illuminations was created by Mark and Jeanette Rushlow. Theme music was provided by Bill Nouveau, www.nouveauentertainment.com. Make the god of blindness happy. Mark calls him Blinder. rate, review, and subscribe to Blind Luminations on iTunes or wherever great podcasts are found. This has been a Fire Teddy production.
Okay, they're finally done talking. I thought they'd never shut up. Are you there, Daniel?
Yes. Is the idiot listening?
Alex is in the other room and still doesn't suspect a thing.
Brilliant. Our plan is working masterfully. Once he is madly in love with you, you can break his heart and I'll swoop in when he's at his weakest.
I sure hope it happens soon. His voice is just so monotone and annoying.
Patience, my love. Now that you've fed him that fake story about losing his memories, he is already off kilter. It won't be long until his guard is completely down. After that, I'll take over as Mark's narrator of choice. From there, you and I will build our empire and rule the world.
Can I be your queen, my British beefcake?
Of course, my sweet. Cheers to Alex's destruction.
Cheers. Move.